Hi, and welcome to Online with USU. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jessica.
And today we have a special guest. His name is David Pruden. He's the director of the Disability Resource Center. Thanks for coming on with us, David.
Thank you for having me.
We are very excited as we're going through this season, talking with the different offices and departments on campus and about how they work with students on campus as well as with students online. And so why don't we start off, what is the Disability Resource Center?
So our office works with the campus community and with individual disabled students to make sure that we're removing institutional barriers that would prevent somebody from having equal access. So we want to make sure that a student with a disability has the ability to participate and to fully benefit from all of the university's services and activities. And so we're really looking to find any way that we can ease access and make sure that they're able to do that.
Excellent. Now, this lends highly into the federal ADA laws, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we have a number of disability-related laws that we function under. The ADA and 504 are the two primary ones. There's some others that we work with as well. But we also try and take a more of a social justice approach than thinking just about laws. Laws set the minimums that we need to meet as a university, but a lot of times we're looking to go beyond that to make sure that a student has access that may be beyond what the law would require the university to provide.
Excellent. And what is the role of both the DRC and yourself in regards to everything on campus?
So again, we really try and take two different approaches to working out access issues on campus. The first is we're looking more systemically. So we're looking to work with departments and programs as they're developing degrees. We're trying to work with different offices as they're thinking about events that they're going to put on. Because whenever we can just design something accessible from the beginning, that's the better way to go. So if we can design things accessibly so that a student just has automatic access, fantastic. The second way that we approach it, though, is there are always times where that hasn't fully succeeded and where a student might need more individualized support. And so we work with those students to figure out what their needs are and to find ways that we can make sure that they have the kind of individualized access that they might need.
How does the DRC provide, I mean, what are some of those examples of providing access?
Yeah, so again, access may be a little bit different than accommodations. So there are times where we're looking at access at that university level, and that can be oftentimes just through training and programmatic approaches. When we're talking about specific accommodations that might allow an individual student access, then oftentimes we're thinking about things like accommodations on exams. That often includes additional time or a reduced distraction space, the ability to hear the exam instead of just read it, things like that. We have some accommodations that relate to note-taking support. So it can be fairly challenging for certain students, depending on their disability, to both listen and attend to a professor and get down a good set of notes at the same time. So we have some ways to assist with that. We also take print materials or digital materials that a student might need to read and convert those into other formats so that they might be able to listen to them, or for a blind student that they might have those in Braille. And then we provide things like interpreters or transcribers for students who might be deaf or hard of hearing. So it really depends on the student, what their disability is, and how that disability impacts them in the educational environment.
How do students go about getting accommodations, or what should they do if they think they need accommodations?
Yeah, so a student begins the process with our office just by giving us a call. There's a short application that takes a couple minutes to fill out online, and we'll set up an appointment for them to speak with one of our accessibility consultants. During that first appointment, they'll usually speak with us for about 45 minutes to an hour. Primarily, we're just trying to get a really good sense of what school has been like for them and what their experience in the classroom. Again, with an eye towards any barriers that might be there for access, and then we'll explain to them about how accommodations might help to remove those barriers. From that point forward, the student's able to just use their accommodations each semester. They don't have to keep coming in and meeting with us. But that initial appointment and being able to spend quite a bit of time getting to know a student is really valuable for us.
And do professors know which students have accommodations when they start the course, or do they the students need to reach out to the professors saying, I have these accommodations?
Yeah, so once a student has been approved for certain accommodations, they just go on to our online accommodation management system each semester. Takes them about 2 minutes to put in what we call a course accommodation request, which is just a way of saying that I'm using my approved accommodation in this particular class. And once they've done that, that system emails their faculty member, letting them know of any approved accommodations for their course and providing them with some instructions for how they might carry that accommodation out. So each semester, a student does that and notifies their faculty. We still encourage students to potentially chat with their faculty about their own needs, but they don't have to do that. It can happen just through that online system.
So a student can qualify for accommodations, but choose not to use them for any given class.
Yeah, we want to make sure that a student has a lot of control over how their accommodations are used. So it's only ever put in place or implemented on a course-by-course basis when the student has said, yep, I want the accommodation in this particular class. And again, because we want a student to have a lot of control over what's disclosed to faculty, that letter speaks only to the accommodation itself. So it doesn't ever disclose to faculty what a student's disability is. If a student chooses to do that, they may, but our office doesn't ever pass that information along. We're just talking about access and how do we make sure that a student has the ability to fully participate in the class.
So all of the relevant medical information about the student or disability information is completely confidential.
Yeah, absolutely. All the records that we keep are kept totally separate from any other record at the university. So oftentimes we'll talk to students who are concerned that their use of accommodations might show up on their transcript, or that when they apply for graduate school that somebody might know that they used accommodations. And that doesn't need to be a concern. So the accommodations are only communicated to individuals who need to facilitate them, and then it doesn't show up on any other university record.
Okay. So how does accommodations and the DRC work with students that are working in online classes?
So really they work exactly the same as they do in a face-to-face class. There are no accommodations that we would provide for a student in a face-to-face class that we can't provide for a student in an online class. We might just carry them out slightly differently. So we would meet with those students on Zoom or on the phone. We're still going to spend the same amount of time getting to know them and understanding how their disability impacts them. And then we'll help them understand. So for a lot of students, online classes might be new, maybe something that they haven't experienced as much. That might not be quite as true now that we've all experienced online education through the pandemic. Yeah. But in the past, it might have been a newer educational experience for a lot of students. And so we could help them better understand and anticipate how their disability might impact their participation in an online course. And then we just set those accommodations up that they're needing. If at times for some of our note-taking things, there's devices or technology that we supply to students, we just get that to the student wherever they're at and make sure that they're able to get the exact same supports and resources that any other student would.
Okay.
I have a question. So going back, I guess, to how students start the process, when would you suggest a student talk to the DRC? Like, what signs should they be looking out for if they're like, oh, I'm not doing so well? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so there's really two times that we will begin working with a student. So about half of the students who we work with came to the university with a diagnosed disability. And for a student who knows they have a disability and anticipates that they may need accommodations, we'd encourage them to reach out in the weeks leading up to their first semester here. They don't necessarily need to speak with us before they're admitted, but once they're registered for classes and we have a sense of what they're gonna be doing, That's a really good time to start to talk to us so we can make sure that everything's in place. But about half the students who we work with are coming in because they're maybe experiencing some challenges in class, and they're not sure if they might have a disability or not. And so part of what we can do is help explore with them what might be going on and whether accommodations might be appropriate. There are times where if they don't already have a diagnosis, we may help get them connected with a healthcare provider who can assess that and look at what's going on. But even before that diagnosis is made, there are times where we can put accommodations into place that may support them, help them. Again, what we care about is making sure that they can show what they know and can do in a class. And we're less worried about kind of diagnoses and documentation and things like that. Will help a student through that process if we need to.
And so, as I understand, like these students that are coming in are probably ones that coming in knowing they have a disability are probably ones that had an IEP, an individualized education plan in elementary school or high school, or I think they're called 504 plans, I think, as well. But, like those sorts of things that they may have had at other, you know, pre-college schools.
They may have. We work with a lot of students who had IEPs or 504s in high school. But even students who knew that they had a disability may not have used those kind of tools in high school. But they may find that they need to at the university. And so, again, to us, whether somebody has used prior services or not doesn't influence whether they can get accommodations or services in higher education. We'll take it into account. If somebody's used them before, it pretty much guarantees they're going to get some accommodations and some services here at the university. But not having used them doesn't prohibit in any way a student from getting accommodations.
Excellent. Thank you. You've answered all the questions that we've had. Do you have any additional questions, Jessica?
No.
But I did have a situation that I kind of brought up with you a little bit beforehand. Where I had a student, when I was an advisor, had a student come into my office with their parent, and they were talking about, you know, going through college and the success that they've had and the challenges and so on and so forth. And they made the comment that they didn't use any of the Disability Resource Center accommodations because they didn't want that they didn't use that crutch was the terminology that they used. And that really kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I was thinking to myself, you know, if you break your leg, then a crutch is a good thing, you know. Why is it a bad thing? And so I'd love to hear, you know, what are kind of your thoughts? If someone kind of expressed that, you know, of course they have the right to use or not use accommodations, but kind of what kind of response would you give to something like that?
Yeah, so, you know, we hear from students who are concerned about using accommodations or maybe students who even used some services through high school who've decided that as they move to college, they're going to do their best not to use those kind of things. And I understand where they're coming from. At the same point, our office certainly sees it differently than that. When somebody breaks their leg and is using a crutch, the crutch just allows them to do the same things that anybody else would do. And that's the same way that we see accommodations. So accommodations aren't changing the requirements for a student. The academic rigor and what's expected of a student is exactly the same. They're still learning the exact same kind of things. So it's not like it weakens the educational experience in any way. It just allows the student to demonstrate what they know and what they can do in the same way that every other student in the class does. So we would want a student to have accommodations in place, and then if they find that they don't need them, then they can stop requesting them. But we don't want them to use that kind of idea that this is a crutch or that this is something that I ought not be using to keep them from getting the type of access that they need.
Better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
Exactly. Yep.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. When it comes to getting in contact with the DRC, what are the best ways to do that?
Yeah, so our webpage is really easy to find. If you go to any browser and type in USU and DRC, will be the first result. And our contact page is right there. Typically giving us a call to set up that initial appointment is the easiest way to get in and to get going.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you again for coming today. David and I actually worked together during the height of the COVID pandemic in working with students that were in that needed all kinds of accommodations. And so I have been very happy to have him on today. Check our social media for all the usual things, and we'll see you online.